Welcome, everybody, to the PlayStation 5 Central Podcast, where we give you all the news, the reviews, and the rumors on the PlayStation 5 and its upcoming games. Today, I'm joined by Vicarth. How are you doing, mate?
Doing well.
And I am doing well as well.
Jordan is away, gallivanting. And this is actual gallivanting, because I guess he's getting married next month, or yeah, just over a month, I think. So,
damn.
Got a lot of wedding planning his bucks, his fiance's hens, all that sort of stuff. So, he's a busy boy gallivanting around trying to sort that out. So,
yeah. So, Vic, I have been playing a game called Resident Evil 4.
Oh, tell us all about it.
What is there to say, mate? This is incredible. This game is the game of the year, man. We're already there. We're in March. Now, can you give a remake a game of the year? At the moment, my top two games are both remakes. So, very interesting year.
Dead Space
and this. But yeah, at the moment it's game of the year. I think it's incredible. And it's just so crazy that you guys haven't played the original or the new one, you or Jordan, when The Last of Us, when Dead Space, when Gears of War, where do you think their inspiration's from, man? The original RE4 is the game that changed it. They revolutionized the over-the-shoulder third person. I don't think people realize. They're the ones that started this whole thing. Because back in the day, the Resident Evil games were actually, if you didn't know, they were tank controls. They were static cameras. And this was the first game, RE4, the original, back in 2004 or 5. It was the first game that took it over the shoulder, took the series in a new direction, and look at it now. How many games are following suit since that? So they're remaking that classic game, which is 10 out of 10. So look, I was probably always going to give this a high score, but even if I take the nostalgia goggles off, it still holds up, man. You don't have to play any other Resident Evil game. I know you haven't played any. You can jump into this game and have a hell of a time. We're going to go into it here from a gameplay point of view. It feels better than bloody Uncharted. So smooth. The gunplay is so everything. The reloading, the weight of the guns, the different variety of weaponry, the punch to the guns, the sound effects, the enemies, the enemy design, how they continually feed you new enemies along. You know, just these are the things that some of these games don't get right nowadays, where with the pacing and feeding you new things as a player to sort of keep everything interesting, because that's what's missing in a lot of these new games, that sort of attention to detail and that pacing, and they just nail it in this game. Always on the edge of your seat, always interesting. They up the ante in terms of the bosses. All the bosses have been upgraded. They cut one from the original game. All the rest are in it, and they're all upgraded. Way play a lot better, and especially there's one, I don't want to spoil it, but in the original game, there was a lot of quick time events, and now in this game, they've sort of introduced a parrying mechanic. In the old game, the knife would never break, but now it actually breaks if you parry too often, or if you use it too often. So, or if you use it to get out of enemy sort of grabbing you, and now they've added this parrying mechanic that works in these boss fights as well beautifully. I mean, the parrying is so fun. Like, everything about the game is so fun. And it's just ripe for you and Jordan to enjoy. And so this is my 20-minute spiel on to convince you guys to play. I know everyone listening, half the listeners have probably already beaten it, let alone are going to play it. I think this is a must-play for this year. This is a must-play title. This is the top of your list, especially if you haven't played that original. I think just to give you an idea of what that original game did for gaming, Capcom Dev 1, I think they're called. They did the RE2 remake. That was the best remake of all time, in my opinion, back in 2019. That was the best remake of all time. And I think if you look up, like, do it now for a laugh, best video game remake of all time. Does that come up number one or close to? I bet you it does.
Is Resi 2.
There you go. But this one beats that, in my opinion. Resi 4 remake beats 2. I'm that high on it. From the voice acting perspective and the character's perspective, I think everyone's got a glow up except for Ada Wong. I feel like...
Really?
She was missing something. Not in the actual... People are having a go at the voice actor. It's not the voice acting to me. I think it's actually more of a writing thing, more of a the way she was positioned in this game, because Ada Wong usually is a female fatale sort of character.
Femme fatale,
bit sexual, but, you know, always has that voice, you know, come here, Leon. In this one, there's none of that, you know. And you see that a lot these days with games recently where they cut out all that stuff. Lately, you know, the original RE4, at the end of the game, this is a spoiler for RE4, minor spoiler, but at the end of the game, the original, once you've done everything, you get a call, you call the Hunnigan, who you've been calling through the whole game. She's like the comms person. And you say, you're really cute without those glasses. We should go on a date. Something like that. There's stuff like that in the original, this campy stuff or... There's all sorts of stuff like that that's all been removed in this one. A lot more serious, a lot more no sexualization and all. There's a little bit of it, but really tamed it out, really tamed it down, which I expected. And so, you know, some people can get a bit pissed off by that. But at the end of the day, it's 2023. I expect this sort of stuff. I don't really have an opinion left or right. But so where was I? Ada Wong, I think it was more of a character thing more than the actor. I think the actor, give her another chance in a future title, I think she could do a lot better. There just wasn't enough there for her. And also the delivery that she did was just a different Ada Wong, you know, so we've got to let it simmer in. So I'm not too worried about that. But everyone else was great, especially Luis. He was my favorite character of the game. In the original, he was a lot less likable, I thought, compared to now. Leon's great. Ashley's a lot better in the original. She was a lot more annoying and pestering, especially from a gameplay point of view. And now they've really toned that down and just made her a lot more of a better companion to Leon. Again, these are the similarities with The Last of Us. The whole way through RE4, you're saving the president's daughter, Ashley. She's with you the whole time. What does that remind you of, Ellie and Joel? You know, there's just so many similarities. When you go back and play it, you'll just think, man, The Last of Us kind of copied this thing. Not copied, but I mean, shit, there's a lot of similarities. And that game came out in 2005. So from a visual point of view, this is one of the best looking games, I would say, out there. Definitely, especially PS5, it looks great. I played it on PC majority, but then I did finish my PS5 playthrough recently. Does take a hit, but I've got a pretty beefed up PC, so there's going to be a difference there no matter what. But still looks great on PS5. I think my runtime on my first playthrough was about 12 to 14 hours, something like that.
Too long.
That's not too bad, is it? That's not too bad. So, and I think if you want to do a full, complete all the little side quest objectives, look everywhere, you're looking at 16 to 18, and there's plenty of replay value because you unlock the infinite rocket launcher, for example, and that's super fun to go through the game with unlimited ammo on a rocket launcher. Yeah, it's just fun.
Or, that does sound fun.
You know, you want to do a knife-only run for the trophy, or you want to do a professional, which is the hardest difficulty, which is really tough in this game. It's actually quite tough. They really throw everything at you in some of these encounters. I think some people will struggle a lot. I'll see how you go, Vi. You love to play games on hard, so we'll see how you go with that. But they threw everything at you. But you got to really think about what weapons am I using in this engagement? Because again, they revolutionized the sort of menu system as well. Everyone knows the Resi inventory menu where you only got a certain amount of space and certain amount of items you can fit in, and you might not be able to fit that ammo in, or you might not be able to fit this health in. So you've got to choose wisely. Do I want the health? Do I want the ammo? Do I want an extra gun? You know, and you're constantly, especially on the harder difficulties, this is more of a, so there's just so much to think about. It's just so, keeps you working. It's just brilliant. For a game series that has a game or content every year, it seems like there's a Resident Evil every year now. It's like Call of Duty. And they just continued up the ball, I find. You know, the last 4 or 5 games have been really good. You know, they have not let off the pedal, let off the gas. So it's a must play. Like it really is a must play. I can't stress it enough. It's action, it's horror, it's exciting, it's got a bit of everything. So you have any questions, Vi, on Resident Evil or Remake?
Yeah, that was pretty comprehensive. You are making a very good case for me to get it, and I just might have to. But I think, you know, you bring a good topic up. Is it, you know, is it eligible for a game of the year? Are remakes eligible for a game of the year? It's a good conversation to have, maybe for another time. But
because there is a lot the same, but there is also a lot different. You know, there's a lot different. So it's not like The Last of Us Remake Part 1. I mean, that is the same game with a visual upgrade. This is a completely different game.
Yeah. See, if it's ground up remake, and not just ground up in terms of the visualness, from a visual perspective. But if its mechanics are changed, gameplay has changed, you know, fundamentals of the game have changed, you know, like a Demon's Souls, yeah, I think it's definitely, there is eligibility there. But
yeah.
Yeah.
And again, like Dead Space, as great as that was, there wouldn't be a Dead Space without Resident Evil 4 as well. A lot of similarities between Dead Space and RE4. You look at that. As gamers, so I think everyone should play RE4, even if it's not this remake, it's the original. You got to see where some of these games came from and what revolutionized what. And there's some games that I'm missing, you know, some Marios from back in the day that I want to go through and play. And you know, I haven't played Mass Effect series. That's a big, giant red mark on my catalog.
Red flag. Anyone who wants to date Dan Allen Gaming, it's a red flag.
It's a huge red flag, and I'm ashamed to still bring it up. It will happen in the next couple soon.
I have about 400 red flags, so I can't complain. I can't criticize.
Well, when we're talking about the big pillars of gaming, I think Mass Effect's there. You know, you got your Bioshocks, your Resident Evils.
But Resi's there too. Yeah, exactly. Bioshock, Resi.
Fallouts, your Fallouts, Skyrims, yeah. Your Marios, your Zeldas, your, you know, we can go along the list, but
Far Cry.
No, Far Cry's not. I mean, Far Cry, you could make a case for Far Cry 3, but I think when we're talking about top 50 games of all time, anyway. Yeah, no, it's just such a good game. Everyone has to play it, and let me know how you find it. I'm on my 4th playthrough, and it's not been out a week.
Nice.
So
very nice. There is a lot of replayability to that, which is great.
And I do want to thank Capcom for the review code as well. We appreciate that. But yeah, man, it is. Yeah, we're going to talk about it again. So I'm not going to share everything. We'll talk about it again in the upcoming weeks and whenever you guys play it. So, but for now, get stuck in, guys. All right, now let's get into some news for this week. We'll start with Resident Evil 4 because we're on the topic. Resident Evil 4 has sold 3 million in 2 days.
Wow.
Very fast selling.
That is very fast selling.
Compared to Village, it's up by about, I think Village did 3 million in a week. So this has done it in 2 days. So it's blitzing that. It's got all-time peak for Resident Evil on Steam. So we're looking at all these certain factors. high reviews in the 90s. We're looking at all these factors, and it looks like it's going to be a high-selling game, essentially.
Yeah, 100%.
10 million plus, we would predict. So, big success.
And the output Capcom do, it's very impressive. Like you said, Dan, like you alluded to before, it's almost annualized, and they're just killing it in all fields, aren't they, Capcom? So, just very impressive. Very impressed with them. So,
yeah. Yeah, well, what some people might not realize as well is the original RE4. So what happened was in 2002 or 2001, they remade the first Resident Evil game.
Mm.
And it was tank controls and all that, and it didn't sell well. So that's when they came up with the idea of RE4. We need to change the series because they were stuck in their ways with the tank controls and that, and they wanted to do something different. And actually, that's how Devil May Cry was created. Devil May Cry was actually a Resident Evil game, but then the creators decided, no, that's too far away from Resident Evil. Let's give it a different name. So that's why some people might see similarities with Devil May Cry as well, because that was going to be a Resident Evil game in its early stages.
Mm.
And then, so that's an interesting thing I thought I'd mention as well. But anyway, so 3 million in 2 days. Pretty crazy.
It is.
We'll keep reporting on how much that sells along the way. Now, Vikarth Tilau came out on PC.
Yes, it did. Not good. Not good. Trying to find some sentence, but not good. Yeah, a lot of crashes, a lot of visual glitches, a lot of bugs, poor performance. So very, I think it's disappointing. Not the way I see it is the reason why Sony advertised to PC, or the reason why they put it on PC, is as an advertisement to encourage PC players to switch, or not switch, to buy the PS5 console. Because, you know, if Last of Us Part 1, if this is the first time they're playing Last of Us after all these years, then, yeah, it's definitely trying to convince them to come to the PlayStation ecosystem and play these top quality games, these AAA games, first and straight away. And Last of Us is their quadruple A, cream of the crop, flawless masterpiece. It is the champion of the PlayStation ecosystem, and I think it is the champion of the modern day Sony, the modern day PlayStation, where it is this AAA high quality first party titles. The Last of Us is really the big champion of that. And
then they put out a piss poor port. Exactly. You're saying the contrast there is just not, doesn't make sense.
And, you know, if you're putting your best game on the PC to get people, if there's any game, it's this game to get people on to PlayStation. And unfortunately, you know,
and this isn't the first time, Vic. Uncharted had a lot of issues. If you go and look, dig deep into the PC version of Uncharted, as much as I love Uncharted, my favorite series of all time, PC port, a lot of issues with many people. You look at some of those reviews and some of the forums, they are really pissed. They're looking for refunds. There's big issues happening. I don't know in what front, sort of. All sorts of issues, but this isn't the first time. And will they suffer for that in sales-wise? Maybe, but they said they're looking into the issues. And
the thing is, it's Naughty Dog. They're the ones that did this port. It's not like it was Nixxes or something else or someone else. It was Naughty Dog, and they're very
talented. Yeah, but they did have help, I believe.
They
from,
did? Yeah, they would have
outsourced. From someone. Was it Iron?
Yeah.
And Galaxy? Nah, that was Uncharted. I'll have to look into it. But
it was inevitable that they would have outsourced, but they were the spear. You know, they spearheaded this port. So,
yeah,
it's concerning. I think it's disappointing. But let's hope that they can fix it ASAP. But
this has never happened on console. They've never really had these issues. Well, their games are always very polished. Very polished.
It goes to show that they're a development studio for the PlayStation, right? Because they optimize and they know, you know, what is for the PlayStation. Where PC, it's a whole new ball game. So, yeah, sad, but you know, let's hope they can fix it as soon as possible and get as many people that maybe haven't played Last of Us to play it. Because those who are in PlayStation or in the know or have one, they all know about Last of Us. But I think people might be surprised at the PC gamers out there who just, you know, they might know about it, but they just don't care. And then maybe this is the time where they try to buy it because it's for PC and they're like, wow. And, you know, yeah, it's just that foot in the door type thing. There are so many more PC players than console players. So, you know, you really want to get as many people as you can into PlayStation, into the
system. I also think it's a big missed opportunity. They didn't release it in the middle of the show.
Yeah, that also, man.
Because it's died down a lot, hasn't it?
It has, yeah.
The talk is pretty much done now. People have moved on. I'm on to Ted Lasso, great show. First episode of Ted was a bit iffy, but the next two, beautiful, great.
Yeah.
They're back in form.
I'm waiting for it to all come out.
Oh, you're going to binge it? Yeah.
I'm going to binge it. I watched The Night Guard, I think it's called, on Netflix.
How was
Night
that?
Night Agent. If you like The Bodyguard, do you ever watch The Bodyguard on Netflix? Really good show. You would like this. It's very similar vibe. Yeah. That sort of
thing. Is he a bodyguard?
He's more of a night agent. he's more of an agent.
I could have guessed that by the title.
It's very similar to Bodyguard, where it's like there's a conspiracy, they're framed, they're
Has there ever been a game like that where you're a bodyguard of someone high profile? That sounds like a great game.
That would sound like an interesting game.
Actually. Resident Evil 4? No. No, there is a show I do recommend, The Night Manager with Tom Hiddleston.
Ooh, look it up, Vi.
Great show. You'll enjoy it, man. Please watch it. Please watch it, man. And they're doing a season 2. Yes. All right. Next story. Vi's going to love this one. There's rumors flowing around, and according to VGC, Metal Gear Solid 3 Snake Eater is coming 2024, and we may get an announcement for Konami this year about it. Man, I can't wait to see Vic's reaction when this is actually officially announced. This guy is going to be in heaven.
It's going to be beautiful. It's going to be...
why MGS 3 1? Do you think? Why do you think 3 is the perfect one because of, from a gameplay point of view?
It's chronologically the first in the MGS storyline. So
that's why you think they went for that.
I don't know. It is also, I think most people revere it as the best Metal Gear Solid game.
Really?
Yeah. I think it's either MGS 1 or MGS 3. And I think MGS 3 is great because it has really great bosses. It has really great outdoor and indoor combat. It's got the camo. It's got, you know, a great character in Big Boss, and you see the birth and origin. It's got a really emotional story, great characters. So I think it's a good foundation. I think it's really good for everyone to get into the game, get into the series. I think it's really good. So, yeah, either Metal Gear Solid 1 or Metal Gear Solid 3, I think is good. It's closer in the timeline to Metal Gear Solid 5, so maybe that had some, you know, so people can, Metal Gear Solid 5, we played as Big Boss, not Solid Snake, so they want to stick with Big Boss because that's what people, maybe newer players might know.
I feel like it's strange, and Silent Hill are doing this, Konami as well. They're doing Silent Hill 2 and not 1, then 2. I feel like it might be a little bit strange to newcomers seeing that there's a 2 or a 3 in the title. And they haven't done the first two or the first one.
That's
Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah. They need to call it like the Metal Gear Solid Snake Eater. Like, you know, just the 3. Just call it Metal Gear Solid.
Do you need the 3? That's what I'm thinking.
Mm. I think you could drop it. But if anyone has ever seen the pachinko machine cutscenes, because they did, their Metal Gear Solid 3 pachinko machines, they rendered these insanely high detailed cutscenes. And they look phenomenal. And I'm just like, I remember when I saw this years ago, I was like so sad. I'm like, man, why can't this just be a game? Because the cutscenes look so good. So it's cool that we could get that sort of level of quality in a game, finally, you know, for the PS5.
You know, who knew we'd be so keen on Konami? I thought they were dead and buried.
It
just goes to show that when you got the IP like that, I think they were just waiting for the dust to settle from the whole Kojima thing and how they were in... They weren't in a great light in the industry. They were very... people weren't a fan.
It was at VGC basically dropped it, right? They basically said that the last time they heard about any Konami plans, they said it was during the E3 window. But then he's basically this writer, Andy Robinson, said that it's now a 2024 title, this MGS3 remake. So they're specifically MGS3. And there's still talk of MGS re-releases of some kind. E3 window was their marketing plan, last I heard.
We'll see how that plans out. But
speaking of E3, Dan.
Oh, no.
Segue.
Oh, no, Vike. It's not good. It's Ubisoft. Not good.
Ubisoft have reportedly dropped out of the E3 race. So they're no more Sony attending.
No more Nintendo. No more Sony. No more Microsoft. And no more Ubisoft. So who is coming? Who's coming?
Bethesda. I don't know who's going to go.
Bethesda or Microsoft?
Yeah, actually.
They ain't coming anywhere.
Good point.
It might be Konami. They might be able to steal the show because they'll be the only one on show.
E3 need to pivot. I think they need to pivot into the smaller games and still be that. But
that's not gonna last.
It's not. But it's just the way society's gone and like COVID and all that. It's just everyone's doing their own direct. They can tailor the message the way they want. There's not going to be any E3 embarrassment, E3 stuff ups, stage floor mishaps. It's all highly tailored, choreographed directs. I think it's easier, low cost, low budget.
And you got summer. You got Summer Games Fest with Jeff Keighley.
Yeah,
so people prefer him.
Look, it's a slow death, but E3 is kind of dying. It's sad because I think E3 is like the Super Bowl, the grand final of video games. Like you get hyped. I used to look for like that June time. It was like the best time, man. It always happened during uni exams, which I hated, but it was like the best time when you could just, it's just this
just all the trailers dropped. You woke up to all these trailers and
yeah, and you just talked about it for weeks. You got excited. Yeah. And then the follow-up game shows where they talked more about it.
They even had the devs come in and they'd show some 10-minute gameplay and they'd go through it and you get even more info and
it's
all
just
gone.
That sort of celebration, the life is gone, you know? It's just all just these cookie cutter, lifeless directs with these robotic TikTok voices.
They are. They're lifeless, aren't they? They're missing a heart. Or something about them. They're very corporate, aren't they? Very corporate.
Next up, the newest installment in the Resident Evil series. And it's like,
What about
the Biohazard reveal? Like when it was just this trailer and then the VI and then like, well, it said Biohazard and then the VII, like, or the VI at that time.
Yeah, well, what about the God of War? They had the music come in, you know?
Yeah.
The music, you know, the orchestra swelling as you reveal the game.
The next release in Sony Santa Monica by Sony Santa. Like, it's just so lame. Like, it's just, yeah.
But you predicted this, Vike. I hate to admit it, but you predicted this when we first started the pod. I reckon you go back first 10 episodes, you would have said this.
Yeah, you can just see the remnants. COVID as well. I think COVID really sped it up. I think COVID.
But you said it before. Did we start this before COVID, this podcast? So yeah, I wonder if you were saying it before COVID.
Pretty sure I was. No, I was. Yeah, I'm pretty sure I was. Yeah, because I'm pretty sure I remember saying it before the first time they cancelled for COVID. Because we saw that even before COVID, they were doing directs. Companies are still doing directs.
You know what happened, right? Yeah. Was it 2018 or 2019? The Keanu Reeves one. Remember that? Yes, that was great. But no Sony at that one. There was no Sony. So that was the writing on the wall. Yeah,
that was where the writing on the wall came for me. Because without Sony, there is no E3. Like,
because they're such a big player, yeah.
Yeah, they made themselves that big player, I will say. So it wasn't always like that, but now Sony, yeah. And then Sony got a bit too pretentious with their four games. You know, they did What was it? Ghost of Tsushima? It's too much. It's too pretentious.
Yeah, they were like, it was the four best games ever made. They were making it.
Yeah, I know. I know, like, a lot. The year before that, they showed, like, so many games, like Detroit and Biohazard, and, like, it was
Death Stranding, God of War, T-Lao 2, am I right? And Ghost of Tsushima, those four?
I know T-Lao 2 and Ghost. I don't remember the other two. I don't think it was God of War.
I think it was Death Stranding.
Yeah.
Anyway, who knows? But yeah, it looks like E3 is taking another hit this year. We know Jeff Keighley's doing the Summer Games Fest again. He's had great connections with Activision. He has a long-standing relationship with Elden Ring and those guys. What are they called again? Blanking.
From Software.
So he's got a lot of connections. Ubisoft
are pulling out. If anyone wants to know what their plans are for the next few years, we've got an episode about called the downfall of Ubisoft. But
it's our best episode in years in terms of viewership. Right?
In that episode, we do go through the upcoming slate that Ubisoft have and all their upcoming projects and games. So if anyone wants to really see what they actually have in store, definitely recommend checking out that episode. We're not there to bash Ubisoft. We had a critical analysis of them from a financial and business point of view.
No, we want them to do well. We want everyone to do well. Yeah, we're coming with best intentions.
I want a thriving market. That's all I want.
Yeah.
Thriving.
And, like, you know, we're getting out a little bit this year.
Yeah.
It's been a good start.
It has. So check that out, guys, if you want to see what's everything about Ubisoft.
I still believe Ubisoft will do their own little direct in June. So it'll feel like a little bit like E3. Because they've got to show off Avatar, and we're going to go into that now. Avatar, Assassin's Creed is supposedly coming out this year, Mirage, Prince of Persia, and we go into that. So now, speaking of Avatar, there was a leaked image, Vike, of the title. Very basic, poor quality image, but it showed one of the Na'vi that we're playing as with a machine gun and then one of those robotic enemies in front. So for some reason... I thought this game was an open world third person game. I don't know why. I was completely wrong. That's just for some reason I thought maybe that's just what I perceived from the images they were showing. But it's actually, that's my bad, because in one of those images is a first person image, and they say it's a first person game of the Na'vi with the crossbow. So, but anyway, now my concerns go into, you know, we've always had concerns about this can't be another Far Cry. Now it looks like it's really going to be another Far Cry. We hope not.
Saw there is one, that cool screenshot with the Na'vi holding the bow and seemingly there's like a monster. So that looks like a cutscene, which looks great. But then when we saw the gameplay one,
do you think it'll play a bit like Far Cry Primal? Maybe, you know how that there was no
that's
guns.
That's what I think, man.
But then
there is
also guns, so I don't know.
It's going to be a mix, but I think that's the thing we didn't want, is it? Like, we don't want Far Cry Prime. We don't want Far Cry Na'vi or Far Cry, you know, DLC. That's just a Avatar skin. So I am worried about it because I just not a fan of that screenshot, but give it the benefit of the doubt. You know, they could be really great gameplay. You know, it can be a shooter. That's fine, and you can use Far Cry elements because the Far Cry shooter mechanics is still good. It's serviceable. It's good. So maybe they have this really great gameplay around it. So who knows?
To be honest, like, the only Far Cry I didn't really like was 4. The only saving grace on 4 was I really did enjoy Pagan Min, but 5 and 6 I really enjoyed. So I'm talking a bit of trash here, but really, the series has been good to me. 1 was great, 2 was great, 3 was fantastic, 4 was average, 5 was great, and 6 was good. So
it's just that
Blood Dragon was fantastic as well. So
when I see maybe I'm a generic assault rifle in that photo, though, I just like my hopes drop a bit. That generic assault rifle, the way he's holding it.
So there, you can look up that image if you want, but we're gonna be seeing actual gameplay very soon. So.
Generic game, Dan, Far Cry. But
now, I do want to shout out Sifu, Vike. They had a big update come out yesterday. I just haven't had a chance because I've been playing RE4, but it's arenas. They've added arenas. There's new trophies as well. So I've got to go in there and get some new trophies. But essentially, it's you know, as the title suggests, it's arenas. It's an arena expansion where there's certain maps and you're pushed to the test against, and there's a really cool looking one on top of like a helicopter pad. That one looks pretty sick. But the thing, I'm just so out of the loop on that game. I was really good at it when it came out. Like, I was loving it. I was getting good. if I played it now, I feel like all my skill is just gone.
This is the thing with DLC games, right? Like DLC in any game, but I think it's even more manifest in skill-based games like Elden Ring and Sifu, is that you, after a few months, you've lost all your muscle memory and you've got to, but then the DLC treats it like you've been, you know, you've been playing.
It treats it like you're an expert. Yeah, this is the problem.
It's hard to jump back in.
It's hard. Yeah. And you can't blame them for treating you like an expert.
Yeah, yeah, you can't blame them. Guys. It's going to be hard. But is it too late? I don't know.
Is it too late? Well, it's a year later since the game released.
People complain if DLC happens too soon because they're like, why don't you include in the game? People are, you know, complaining if DLC is too late. So is there a sweet spot? Who knows? But it's great. Like, I love that this game was as successful as it is. I still think it is one of my favorite games of last year. It's really fun, really good.
They might be, I don't know what their plans are with this game, but this might not be the last one. Maybe they're going to continue in a year two, do more arenas, might be more levels or something. Who knows? They might make, not like a live service, but they might keep continuing this game like Hitman or something. But I think they should do a sequel. But
they're going to do Sifu. But there's going to be two of them. So,
oh, wow. That's fantastic.
What they're going to do. That's what they're going to do.
You've done it.
I guarantee it. All right,
I can't wait to see if that is true.
Do you know what? The only thing that would get me back into playing this DLC, playing this game, Dan, either more story content because the beauty of Sifu is just, it kind of reminds me of Hitman in a way where the level is really the drawing factor of the game. I really think that Sifu's drawing factor is the level and, let's say, the boss.
It's right? a character. It's its own character. Yeah.
It's its own character where, you know, a linear game, let's say like Uncharted, you're not playing the Lost Legacy for the setting, although it's in South India. So shout out to
that was Tamils. Actually pretty good, the Indian. But anyway,
Tamil Nadu.
It was jungles. It was... You're
playing it for the story. You're not playing it for the level. But Hitman, there's a new level on an F1 racetrack. It's his new sandbox.
You've been playing Hitman. Hey!
Yeah, I have, mate. So, yeah, Sifu I kind of see as a bit of a mix, gameplay and level. So I really would love a few extra levels. But at the same time, man, I just want co-op. Oh, man, could you imagine five
co-op
extra
Sifu?
Levels?
Yeah, man, that's co-op sick. Sifu. You and me we'd give it a 10.
Balancing our skill points, balancing our ages. Like, they could just do so much with that. And it's just a simple thing that they could make. Like, Returnal is just, it's just twice as much fun playing co-op. So I just really want, I really wish there's, and I hope that they will do, maybe in either Sifu 2 or a future DLC, that they do a co-op because it's so much fun. Ghost of Tsushima Legends, I know that's not really co-op, but that's that cooperative multiplayer. So much fun.
So if I going back to what you said about the DLC, we should commend them for continuing to support the game after launch, because this was after the fact. They didn't have this and they were waiting for some DLC. And remember, this game was actually $40 US, cheaper than a normal full-fledged game. I believe they should have charged $60. I thought it was that good. And, you know, so it's good to support them. Is this DLC free or paid? I'm guessing it's paid, but I'm not sure, but
I see a comment here. I read about the Arenas update and finally jumped into it. What a game. Just got past age 30. Loving it. What a rookie. 21. You finish the game at 21 years old or you're...
Did you beat the game without dying?
In the end. I think I got to the last boss on 21, but I don't think I tried to do a deathless run.
Get
to the last boss by 21.
Yeah. And then you didn't want to. That's fine. Yeah. Cool.
But the way this comment is, just got past Sean age 30, loving it. So I'm just like, the goal of the game is not to age. It's not like progress.
You don't want to be old.
I'm like 45, man. It's so good. Like, well, no. But
I was surprised. Those videos on my channel did so well on Sifu.
Are they one of your most successful like videos?
Yeah, it was
world record at one stage.
Yeah, I had the game finished in 40 minutes. It did the rounds, and then it was beaten in a day. I had a day of fame, but I still get messages because I did some tutorials on how to beat the bosses easily, and because people were struggling, yeah. And still get messages that saying thank
really
you, man.
Challenged. It really challenged everyone. That's so funny. But the beauty of that game is once you've played it, you realize how easy the bosses are. Maybe except the last one, which I still struggled with for a while. The other four bosses were easy. The hardest boss, which is the second one, people were struggling. He became the easiest.
This is the perfect thing, Blake. At the time when you first play it, you think it's impossible.
You do. You think it's
or near impossible.
This is the easiest part of the game. You just live under it, mate.
When have you had a game like that where it goes that drastic of change?
Good skill tree.
I remember that. That second boss got me from age 30 to dead. First time I played it. But you just got to push through. So, Forspoken, Vike, this was a game it was probably the lower point of this year. Let's just say that. There's a prequel story DLC that's going to be coming out in May.
Everyone wanted it, man.
They, now, Vike, this is a bit of a sour fans. Thing because it's obviously something that they knew was going to happen because it's ready to go in May.
It was in the works.
It was already in the works. I'm guessing they thought people would really want this because they were hoping the game would do well, but sadly it was a bit of a flop. So look, there's one good thing. There's more content for people that like the game. All three of you.
All three. Exactly. The actual promotional poster looks really cool.
That's another thing that looks good, but besides that,
it's exciting. But if you don't have,
I'm going to go out of limb and say this is probably going to be the least sold DLC in history.
You're not wrong.
Oh, it's not looking good. But anyway, we thought we'd mention that.
Speaking of DLC, Dan.
Actually, no, Vike. Go on.
Speaking of disappointment or speaking of DLC?
Speaking of disappointment.
Best speaking of disappointment.
Okay. Crime Boss.
Speaking of disappointment.
Rockay City. Okay, Vi. Let's look at the cast for this game. Danny Glover. Michael Rooker. Is that his name?
Yeah. You've got Danny Trejo.
Yeah, Michael Rooker.
Michael Rooker, Danny Glover, Vanilla Ice.
Vanilla Ice, yeah. Chuck Norris. Yeah. And it's just some generic first person. I played it for 30 minutes. I put it down. I thought, this is crap. And I moved on. It was the most generic shooter bike you've ever seen in your life.
49. Game Informer, who are normally, in my opinion, far too generous.
Very generous. They are always far too generous. Nothing gets lower than an 8.
I know. They give everything a 9. And it's just, they're always like 2 or 3 points too generous.
They're not that bad.
Okay, not 2 or 3. They're maybe one or two. I'll say 1 or 2 points too generous. Sometimes.
But they would give something like Far Cry 6, for example, which I believe is a 7. Probably.
Okay,
They give that a 9. They probably give that a 9 or an 8, which, yeah. If they gave that a 9, that would make me laugh.
Okay, I'll tell you what they gave. They gave it a 9, Dan.
Did they? They did not.
They gave it a 9.
Oh, no. Nine. Yeah, see, that's just too high. And I like that game, but even that is just too high a 9. Yeah,
I don't know. So. They're just far too generous. Every game I
And they gave this a 3, Vike.
They did.
Oh, they gave Crime Boss a 3. Dang.
So they gave Sifu a 7.25, which is not generous, in my opinion. But,
Oh, so you've just contradicted yourself.
I don't know. But everything I've seen, especially with the big AAA games, I'll say that. Like these.
Yeah.
I mean, look, Rockay City is not AAA, but I'm just saying the big AAA games, they tend to be very generous, in my opinion, from what I've seen.
They gave Forspoken a 75. So
that's arguably on the lighter side of generosity, but I think 75 is a well-stated score for a game like Forspoken. But
they gave Need for Speed 85.
Unbound.
Yeah.
Jeepers.
Sonic Frontiers 78. Yeah, they're pretty much always higher than the average.
What a disappointment, yeah. this Roque City for this cast.
It's
how can you stuff up such a good cast?
Well, it reminded me of Payday, the way it played, but just I hate to say it, a terrible version of it, like a bad copy of something. It's kind of like if I wanted to copy your homework, Vic, but you were right across the room. I'm squinting, trying to grab every last, and the answers just aren't lining up. That's sort of how they are to Payday. So, I played 30 minutes on PC. It ran fine. It looked okay. It was on Unreal Engine. You could just tell. I haven't even looked that up, but I could just tell. It was on like some of these games, you could just tell it's on Unreal. Basic assets, you know, basic shit. The shooting, the AI was horrendous. And I just said, why would I play this when I got Resident Evil 4? You know what I mean? Why would I waste any more time on this? So that's what I think. Is it out? It's out on PS5 and everything. Shit.
Yeah, pretty sure it is. Well, this is a PC, which you don't know.
Chronicles. Yeah, just quickly look that up. Because is it on PS5?
Yeah, it's PS5, Series X, Windows. Yeah.
Well, hopefully we get some sales figures. Be interesting to see some sales figures on that one. Probably won't, because if a game does poorly, you never hear about the sales. So, now Horizon, DLC.
Speaking of DLC, that was the other segue. In an alternate universe, we would have done that first, Dan. In a parallel universe, so Horizon Forbidden West PS5 exclusive expansion still scheduled for 19th. So it's coming out next
of April.
Of April, I should say. Sorry. So the Burning Shores DLC, which you know, I've always enjoyed Horizons. There's only been one, but I thoroughly enjoyed Frozen Wilds DLC. I thought it was really good. So I'm excited for this. I actually was one maybe the most positive on Forbidden West. I really loved it. I think that there was actually, if anyone hasn't played it and is a reasonably skilled gamer, and you want to play it, I would heavily recommend playing it on hard, because I think it actually makes the game a lot more fun. So that's all I'll say. Until, I guess up to a point, it becomes fun. Once you finish
the without game, the grinding, stuff,
yeah, without the grinding. But if you
drop it to easy on grind, and then when you're actually playing,
play it on hard. Yeah. And I guarantee you, it's going to be fun. So yeah, I'm excited for this Burning Shores. I just hope it's not. One of the biggest critics I had was that game was a bit bloated, just too many activities. Your map was filled. So I hope it concentrates on the story. I like Aloy. I like the story and the lore of Horizon. It's always been great, great, phenomenal writing. So I'm excited. I'm excited. I might check this out. Might be eventually, but depending on the reviews. So coming out on the 19th, we thought, I think there was anticipation that it might be delayed. But no, it's coming out on the 19th. We also got the Horizon VR Call of the Mountain that came out. I think it's been somewhat fairly well reviewed. I think it's been getting a lot of sevens and eights.
Kind of crazy that Horizon's over a year old. I remember picking that one up, first seeing that snake, that opening, and it's already been over a year. So
that's exciting. That was quick. Good game. Definitely recommend playing that game.
Definitely. Ben Prendergast, who is the actor of Tyr in God of War, someone asked him about, you know, will Tyr be returning? And he said, I'll say this, it isn't the last you've seen of Tyr. Now,
classic.
I mean, is he allowed to say that?
Probably you not, think? But they
it's
said
a tough
it.
One because that's confirmed that there's some more in some capacity. I'm not sure he was even allowed to say that. I don't know.
He probably wasn't, but they, you know,
it's these, probably the best thing he could have said.
Actors. Yeah. Look, I don't know. Am I surprised that there's going to be more God of War? I think I would be. Is this actually saying that there's going to be a next God of War? I don't know. I don't think there'll be DLC, but yeah, if this isn't the last they've seen, then they have plans, which is really interesting because it's almost like the Norse arc ended. So could this be the potential Atreus game that we might get? Or could it just be that Tia, as someone who's traveled the world, might travel, the real Tia might travel with Kratos to Egypt or wherever they go, who's traveled all the realms. So I don't know. But it's exciting. I'm maybe a little surprised if a God of War-related project is Santa Monica's next one. I thought they might go into whatever they're doing next, like the rumored space shooter or whatever, space project, whatever it is. But maybe it's about the TV series. Who knows? So we'll just have to wait and see. But anything you want to say about that, Dan?
I'm having a break from God of War at the moment.
Speaking of leaking things as a voice actor, yes, Spider-Man 2. So the Venom voice actor, he said, I forgot exactly what he said, but he basically teased that it's coming in September. He basically confirmed that it's in that release window, and then he slowly or suddenly deleted it. He basically said no more hints about Spider-Man 2. This is the tweet he said after.
Yeah. He pretty much said it like the marketing is going to ramp up soon and it's coming in September, right?
Yeah,
he took the tweet
like
down and then he's like, oh, I was jet lagged, guys. Yeah. Now, well, I think the problem with these voice actors, and I've interviewed over 100 and a few of them have slipped things before that I've had to delete. I've had to delete interviews before on my podcast. Like some serious stuff has gone down.
Oh, wow.
And the reality is that they don't get the PR training that they need. I don't believe they do. Because they're not like a traditional actor and they don't typically do interviews a lot of the time. Like interviews for voice actors isn't really a thing. Not really, like it doesn't really happen that much. Like I was one of the first ones to start doing it as a YouTube channel. It seems so basic, right?
Yeah.
Compared to, you know, a Tom Cruise or whoever, how many interviews have they done about their movies? I mean, thousands and thousands, right? Even someone like, God rest his soul, Kevin Conroy, he's done a lot of interviews, but that's because he's been in actual, you know, anime, big shows, not just the games. He wasn't really known.
Yeah.
He was known for being Batman, but not necessarily in the games, right? So
yeah, from the animated series. And
he was a professional. He was a consummate professional. You know, I asked him about if he was going to be working with Rocksteady. And he said, I hope so. Now, he'd already recorded for Justice League at that time. So, you know, you just have to shut up and just say no or say nothing. But a lot of these people just can't keep their mouth shut. And I just think they don't get the training. I feel like they're just not getting – it's a tough one because they're actually contractors. They don't really work for these game companies. So the game companies don't necessarily have to do that for them. So it's an interesting one. But what were you going to say, Bo?
I just think games also – if they're coming from a TV side of things, the games are way more stricter about embargoes and hidden information and things like that, like release. It's like movies and TV. Like we knew years in advance about half the movies. We know
exactly
the MCU. It's like for the next 5 years, the actors, the director, the storyline, everything. So I think Hollywood is so different in the way that they do things. The news is very open.
Everything and you've also got, you also have the fact that when you're shooting a movie, like if you're shooting in New York, everyone can take pictures of you shooting in New York. They can see the scene being played out, can't they?
So that's the thing, right? Like, in games, it's way more tight-lipped, I guess. So, yeah, unfortunate.
I swear one of the Marvel movies leaked, the script leaked, and it was completely, it was the same. And I think a Tarantino movie leaked, the script leaked.
I think that Tarantino decided not to do that because it leaked.
Oh, really?
Like that. Okay. I just remember something like that. But look, it's a release date. It's a release window. You know, is that really spoiling things? Maybe it stops Insomniac from potentially delaying the game. But in the end, they never confirmed it, so they can. They can say, oh, yeah, we're going to delay to November. Oh, but the Venom voice actor says, who cares? This is them. This is what they're saying.
But they haven't shown gameplay. I don't believe it's coming this year, personally.
I don't think so either, but it's interesting you said that. So who knows, Dan?
I think this is the first time that, and that's why they haven't announced a date, because they don't, I don't know. I don't think they know they're ready. Yeah.
But, you know, if he said, oh, we're doing marketing and stuff, and it's all coming out October or September, then a PR teams would have told him that, like, from Insomniac. And those PR teams report to, you know, the heads of Insomniac to be like, when is this game coming out?
I know.
I'm going to tell the voice actor, get ready. We're booking your flights. You're going to these press events.
But PR, up, you know? They can still do PR and not come out.
Yeah, as well. But yeah, true.
Could come out December. It'd probably be a good time to come out at Christmas. I mean, that.
Yeah.
Spider-Man is sort of Christmas. I feel they're synonymous with each other a little bit.
Exactly. So, who knows?
Who knows? But then again, maybe it should be, they shouldn't have to be so strict with it all. Maybe it should be a bit more open.
Yeah.
Like, I don't mind the fact that they said Fallout 5's next after.
It makes sense.
After Starfield.
Elder Scrolls. No, Elder Scrolls. Then Fallout.
What? No! No! Are we dead, man? Please! Get another team on it. Todd, what are you doing, bro? Fucking hell, man.
Are we surprised that they're going between Elder Scrolls and Fallout? Elder Scrolls and Fallout, and Starfield is coming. And then after that would be Elder Scrolls and Fallout.
Why don't they have three teams on each one? They're losing $1 billion by doing this. You do realize that.
It just works. It just works.
They've got a team that made the best Fallout game, and it's not even them.
And they're a first party now. So
what are their names?
They're all first party.
Obsidian. I mean,
Obsidian. They're all under Microsoft umbrella. So I'm sure they can say, give it to Obsidian, give them a go. I mean, Outer Worlds is great.
I'm pretty sure New Vegas is the most played Fallout game right now.
It was a bloody brilliant Fallout game. It was probably my favorite Fallout game. So it was really good.
If you look at the Steam charts, I believe New Vegas is the most played.
Always probably my most played one.
Yeah, but that's only because it's newer.
Me and Kyle, so I would get Kyle to come over to my house and he'd bring his TV.
And you'd build bases.
We're just hours building bases. What do we do?
That sounds so boring.
But yeah, it was fun, man. We had the times of our lives.
No, that's good. That's good. All right, last story, Vike.
PS Plus. The monthly games. What a shock. they got leaked. So, the games are going to be Meet Your Maker, Tales of Iron, and Sackboy, Big Adventure. So that's a big one, I think. That is worthy of trying. So April 4th, on Tuesday, April 4th, until Monday, May 1st.
Do you remember Meet Your Maker?
No, Meet Your Maker.
It's the first person one where you remember we saw a trailer of it and every level is designed by the player. It looks really cool. You're not remembering it. You gotta watch the trailer, man.
Oh, was this from the event?
One of the PS Plus events. Yeah,
and yeah, it's sort of like, yeah.
You remember?
I'm looking at the trailer now. Like your enemies build a base and you have to raid it, sort of thing.
Yeah,
that's cool. That's sort of multiplayer I can really dig, and I'm keenly excited for reviews. But it's cool that it's free. That's a big one because it's a new game.
Yeah, I think they had to do it, personally, because you've got, you're in between big releases, in between RE4 and then Star Wars, so it's a tough spot.
Yeah.
And to gain traction, you need to put it free. I think it's a great decision. Hopefully, reviews are out soon. Hopefully, it's looking good, and I'll give it a crack, especially it's on PS Plus. So, that's it for this week, Vike.
One thing I want to say is I've been really digging. I will say I've been really digging PlayStation's marketing of Tekken 8. Every few days, you're just getting a new character trailer. It's good.
They're putting it all on the line here, man. Every character's getting a trailer.
Yeah,
they've got constant updates. It's great.
The comments on the videos have been really positive, and people are loving it. Like Jun Kazama just came out, and it looks really good. I'm just vibing it, and it's getting me hyped for Tekken, as someone who's not really a Tekken player. So that's.
And check out, do you remember Maximilian Dude?
Yeah.
You know him, the YouTuber?
Yeah, mate.
He's yeah, he did a good video.
Hands
on
Tekken 8, mate.
Yeah, so, you got a hands on. YouTubers are getting hands on and creators, so it's good.
Steve Fox is in the game. That'd be awesome.
Mate, this. Evander says the same thing. I hope Bob's in it. They're all going to be in it. They're not going to get rid of these staple characters. Guys, yeah, like.
That's true.
The ones that are in jeopardy are the new guys from the last game.
Dr. Bosconovich. I don't think he's going to be in it, Dan.
Like, they put Ganru in the last game as DLC. He's, like, not a big character.
Yeah.
And they brought him back. So you'll be fine. Yeah, Steve, he'll be announced any week now, I would say.
Hoerang and Steve.
Well, Hoerang's confirmed. No, he's not.
Yeah.
No, I thought he was, but he pretty much is. He's another one that they'll... Yeah, anyway, Vike, a bit of Hitman, and you're going to be buying Resident Evil 4 this weekend, is that right? And getting stuck in and skipping the gym. Because you go to the gym for 2 hours every week. Sorry, one hour times four, that's 4 hours of Resi.
4 hours.
You'll be done in a few weeks. Beautiful.
But no, I've been playing Hitman Freelancer, which has been really fun. Really, there's just a good freedom to it. Like, I feel like with those sort of games where you are ranked on stealth and non-lethal kills, it's, yeah, I've always played it like that, but I've kind of always wished I could go around shooting people John Wick style or kill people and use the guns and weapons that they have. And this is, I felt the same for like the latest Splinter Cell Blacklist, because they had that different types of gameplay and that sort of, you know, they had the, I think it was like the Panther and, you know, there's one where you can kill, one where you can be stealthy. So, it actually, yeah, having that made me, oh yeah, I can start marking, executing and shooting people. It was fun. But yeah, with this one, it just encourages you to play in a really different way to traditional Hitmen. You don't have to worry about contextual kills. You're just in there trying to sneak in, kill them, get out. You don't have to worry about bodies. You don't have to worry about, like, it's really freeing, but it's really hard. It is really hard, I think, too, especially for some people where you can't kill them without other people noticing, and it can be tricky. But yeah, really fun. And the way you have this sort of roguelite element of your weapons, when you die, you lose it all. You've got to build, you start off with nothing. And as you play the games, you've got to build up your equipment and weapons. It's really fun. So
it's
really
a cool new
that.
Mode, isn't it, man?
It is. Yeah, really cool new mode. I love what they've done. This is a sort of innovation is that I really enjoy.
Great. Can you see why I give it a 10 out of 10? Yeah. As a complete package with all the maps and
it is the ultimate Hitman experience. The other one I've started playing, Dan, and just a couple hours in, is Hogwarts
Legacy. Oh, nice. Yeah.
So
how'd you find the first few hours?
Yeah, really good. I mean, I love that it's still the Harry Potter mantra, because the reason you love the character of Harry Potter is because he's like special. He's gifted, but he doesn't know it. But he's gifted and he's special, and he kind of, it has that same magic here where it's like this guy, he knows ancient magic. He's better than everyone, but he just doesn't know it. Like, it's that special kid.
Yeah.
And he's a 50 year. Yeah. So I'm liking it so far. A lot of fun. It's still, it's still like got loading doors. They've slow you down.
Isn't that funny? The loading doors.
And,
yeah.
And I'm just like, I'm like, am I back in 2015? But no, it's still a phenomenal game. And really enjoying it at the moment.
Well, other games, if instead of a loading door, it's crawl through a space. So which one do you prefer?
Shimmying through everything.
Because that's essentially what it is. It's one or the other at the moment. That's the only, probably the disappointment with the next gen, is that some of these things haven't been ironed out just yet. There's not really, not, 4K 60 isn't really a main thing at the moment yet, you know.
The reason it hasn't been ironed out is because they're still catering to the previous gen. Three years after, right? Mm. Or 2 years after, they're still making PS4 games and these AAA releases for PS4. Of course God of War needed shimmying, because I reckon if there was no PS4 version for God of War, there would be no shimmying. It'd just be one fluid SSD glorious game. So, anyway.
But yeah.
How is Hogwarts going to come on the Switch, Dan? I don't know. It'll
be cancelled. I believe it'll be cancelled. Mm. Yeah,
even
I think
previous gen. I don't know.
If that runs well on Switch, I will
That's a miracle.
I don't know what I'll do, but I will do something. I was going to say, I'll give everyone that listens $1,000, but I'll be broke. Do you remember I did that tweet? I went out. God of War comes. No. If God of War comes out, I'll pay everyone $1,000. And it was like 50,000 likes. So it worked out to about how many million? I don't know. It was so ridiculous. Luckily, it never came out that year, so we were safe.
Yeah.
Oh, funny.
$1 million.
Yeah. I'm not going to make that bet for Spider-Man 2. There's still a chance it comes out this year. I'm just, as we get later in the year, we're now heading into April, no gameplay. This is my rule. No gameplay, no release. So we'll see. But Vic, it has been a pleasure to be with you on this afternoon.
Yes.
I wish you and yours happy weekend. And I'll see you later.
Later.
And we'll see you, the audience, later. See you later. See you later.